Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me once again Robert Carrington. He is the president and CEO and a director of New Range Gold Corp. Robert has more than 30 years of exploration, production, and executive management experience with various junior mining firms. He is the former CEO and a director of Gold Canyon Resources and the CEO and founder of Colombian Mines Corporation, which is now New Range Gold Corp., and that's the company we want to talk to Robert about today. Welcome, Robert. Thanks for joining me again.
Jay, thanks for having us.
Always good to have you with us. I should tell our listeners before we get started with our conversation that your stock, New Range, trades in Toronto under the symbol NRG. You can buy it down here in the States under the symbol CMBPF, as I have. There are about 75.2 million shares outstanding after some warrants are accelerated here, giving you, I saw recently the share price in U.S. money around 25 cents, giving you a market cap of around $19 million. So, Robert, as I understand your story, you have a composite of a number of different projects, small mom-and-pop gold mines in the past, but now those have collectively been brought together in one project you call the Pamblico Project. It is located towards the north end of the Walker Lane geological formation in Nevada. Can you tell us the significance of being able to pull all of those properties together? It's a big help to you, I would imagine, but could you explain that to our listeners?
Yes. It's for modern mining, it's absolutely critical that you have a large enough land package so that you can, if you are fortunate and discover a large deposit, you have the room to develop a modern mine, be it open pit or underground. Modern mining takes a lot of room. You have waste dumps, your process facilities, the mine development, all of that. And then on top of it, your larger mines enjoy a tremendous economy of scale, so that as your mine size increases, oftentimes your costs go down to a certain extent. And the availability of all that land gives us that kind of room, but very importantly, it also covers a number of other very large target zones. The Pamlico Ridge Zone that we are currently exploring within is actually the second largest exploration target on the Pamlico Project, the largest being what we refer to as the East Zone, which is a belt of carbonate sediments that's approximately 6 kilometers long on the all on the property.
Mm-hmm. Could you give us a sense of the overall size of your target then?
The Pamlico Ridge, as I indicated, is one of several major targets on the property. Pamlico Ridge is approximately 2.7 kilometers long and is up to 1,000 meters wide. Mm. It's a very large target. The area that we have been exploring is approximately 100 by 100 meters. And so we've been doing a lot of very detailed work in that. And as we are developing a very good predictive model to help us understand the geology on that and the rest of the property, we will be stepping out along the trend of the Pamlico Ridge Zone and into some of these other very high-grade targets that exist on the property.
So you do indeed have had some, well, you've really reported some really high-grade numbers. I mean, I'm looking at grab samples of a meter and a half, grading 104.75 grams per ton in some drill intercepts. Very impressive, 4.6 meters, 43.8 grams, 6.1 meters, 97.94 grams, and then more recently 16.87 grams over 4.6 meters. And you've also talked a little bit about dissemination between these high-grade zones. Could you talk about the significance of that, Robert, and why that's really important?
Yeah, the high-grade zones are very important because they are, in fact, related to the Walker Lane. All of our high-grade zones that we've discovered in the drilling at Pamlico, including the J, K, N, and O zones, are northwest trending, structurally controlled, very high-grade mineralization with those stellar grades that you were just mentioning. and they're fairly closely spaced. In between those, we see a kind of a spider web of fracture-controlled mineralization that geologically is referred to as a stockwork. And all stockwork is geotalk for a zone where you have a rock that's been cracked because of tectonic movement. You have a lot of little tiny fractures all through the rock, and then when a mineralizing event comes in, that mineral seeps out into those cracks and fractures and gives you a potentially more bulk mineable deposit. We're very fortunate at Pamlico because we have these very high-grade structures surrounded by, if you will, a halo of this stockwork mineralization that also gives us the potential for a more of a bulk mining scenario going down the road.
Okay, possibly open pit mining then, which could be a lot more efficient or cost-effective mining. How much work have you done on your metallurgy so far? Because metallurgical, you know, projects either make or break a lot of times on the basis of metallurgy. What can you tell us about what you know at this point in time about metallurgy?
Well, we have not done any formal metallurgical studies, but what we do know about the system and its impact on our future metallurgy. The entire mineralized system at Pamlico is deeply oxidized, so there's no sulfides that are encapsulating it. And that's very important. We're unlikely to have gold that we can't get because it's tied up inside of the sulfides. The other aspect, it's volcanic-hosted, so there's no carbon in mm-hmm. a volcanic-hosted system, unlike the some of the Carlin-type systems where you get naturally occurring activated carbon that can actually rob gold from the cyanide solution. And then the third and very important aspect, the gold is very fine at Pamlico. It's almost microscopic. Even in that one drill intercept that we had that had over 340 grams a ton, we could see no visible gold. And under a binoc microscope in PanCons, it's still very, very fine-grained gold. You almost cannot see the gold. That's very important because the finer the gold, the easier it is to recover in a heap leach environment.
Mm-hmm.
A coarse grain of gold, more than 22 microns, because of the chemistry of leaching in a static environment like a heap leach, various minerals and impurities that are in the gold build up on the grain of gold. And if the gold grain is too big, it forms a shell around the gold so that ultimately it's just the leach solutions can no longer access the gold, and so whatever gold is left just gets lost in the heap. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that really is a major thing we're going to be looking at is the shape of the gold grains. Mm-hmm. The morphology of your gold grain is very important. You can have relatively large grains of gold if they have a very ornate grain shape with lots of surface area and appendages that stick out. That may be, even though you have a large grain of gold, it may be very amenable to heap leaching. If you have very compact, small grains of gold that are shaped more like BBs, you have minimal surface area, and that same size grain of gold may not be amenable to heap leaching because of the small surface area, and then also, as I indicated, the impurities in the gold tend to build up and form almost like an eggshell. Mm-hmm. And once that's formed in a heap leach, you have no way to break that up. Now, in a conventional mill, because you're agitating and moving that grain around, you're constantly scrubbing that material off, so it's less of a problem in a mill.
Well, thanks. That's quite an education there on metallurgy, Robert. I don't think that we've had a guest that has explained it that clearly in the past. So it's something we'll certainly be watching, and the importance of these metallurgical studies, of course, very key to the project's success. You know, smaller mining projects just don't cut it a lot of times these days. If you got a mine that produces 30, 40, 50,000 ounces a year, about all you can do a lot of times, given all the costs that are involved in producing gold, is pay for your overhead. And so What I'm interested in knowing is, do you feel that your project has size potential? That is, do you think that you, based on what you know at this point in time about the size of your target and all, whether you think with success, investors might have some hope of a multi-million ounce discovery here?
I think there's a very good opportunity for a multi-million ounce discovery, especially if we're looking at the stockwork more disseminated mineralization, because the potential for that adds up very quickly. The high grade is very interesting beast. Not ironically, your listeners will clearly understand that the higher the gold grade, the more profitable it is. So if you have a 1 million ounce deposit that has an average grade of, say, an ounce a ton, and your competitor has a million ounce deposit that has 1 gram a ton, you can produce gold for a fraction of the cost that he's going to produce gold. And so the systems with the high-grade component like we see at Pamlico have the opportunity to scale up to meet whatever the metal prices are and actually produce at very, very low all-in sustaining costs. During 2000, when gold was in the 200-250 ounce range, the lowest cost producing mines the world over were all high grade underground mines. The Midas mine near Battle Mountain was one. El Peñol down in Chile was another. These are extremely high grade underground mines. Midas, I know, at that time was producing gold for about $90 an ounce. So even at $200 an ounce, they were in the money.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you feel you have the potential. We'll have to watch and see, because you're really early days. You don't expect to have a resource perhaps by the end of 2018, Robert?
That's certainly the goal. If we can get enough drilling into Pamlico with successful results like we've been having, I think we'll be ready to at least initiate a 43-101 resource by the end of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Geology and market forces are fickle, so we'll see how far we go.
All right. Well, it's certainly going to be fun to watch. A very low cap stock at this point in time, as I say, only about $19 million in U.S. money. So, if there is the kind of goal that we're looking for here, it's hard to see how this remains a $19 million company. I think this is certainly one that I've added to my newsletter. It's a favorite of mine. Anything else you'd like to add before we conclude our discussion today as far as money in the till? Are you okay with that?
Yeah, we're in good shape. We have approximately $500,000 cash in the till, and we have warrants that are being converted that'll bring another $1.1 million in. Plus, we have about $800,000 coming in from the sale of a property in Colombia. So we have adequate funds to see our program forward. Depending on market conditions, we may raise more money next year. One thing that will be a very driving force going forward, we're obviously going to be expanding out of the area we have been focused on, and we're dominantly going to be expanding toward an area that has never been drilled on the property, but where there are historical samples that run over 620 grams in outcrop. So that's going to be a real interesting program when we finally get the geology and geochemistry all put together so we can actually identify good drill targets there.
Well, that's going to be really exciting to watch, and also if you start hitting some good stuff there, it will also help people to start to see the size and scope of this a little more. One little piece of the jigsaw puzzle at a time. It's really fascinating to watch. Thank you so much for being with us today, Robert, and we'll look to do it again sometime in the near future.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Jake.